This is Top Shelf, the KIGHL podcast, our 67th episode. I'm Mark Berry. This week on Top Shelf, the Tech Cup champions captain, Brady Schwab, joins Emmanuel Sequeira to talk about the Revelstoke Grizzlies and their championship run. Then we talked scholarships and bursaries with Ethan Lozinski of the Castlegar Rebels and Caleb Percival from the Beaver Valley Nighthawks. The Revelstoke Grizzlies are the KIGHL Tech Cup champions, getting past the Kootenai Conference champion Fernie Ghost Riders in four games. Earlier, the Grizzlies dispatched Chase, Kamloops, and Princeton. They swept three of their four series, and their only losses came against Princeton, three games, all in overtime. Their captain, Brady Schwab, is next on Top Shelf.
And this should pretty well do it as they wind down. And here they come to celebrate.
Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Here come the guys out of the back there that weren't dressed tonight.
Oh, that's nice to see. Yeah. The guys that didn't dress, and they get to come out, litter the ice with the sticks and the gloves. But congratulations to the Revelstoke Grizzlies. Boy, they're full value in this series, I'll tell you.
I'm speaking with Brady Schwab, captain of the Tech Cup champion Revelstoke Grizzlies. Brady, welcome to Top Shelf, the KIGHL podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So how does that sound, being captain of the Tech Cup champion Revelstoke Grizzlies?
You know, that sounds really good. That's actually the first time I've heard it, and it's really setting in that we are the champions this year.
Talk about, share what that feeling was like when you guys won, especially like it kind of exploding onto the ice and Fernie to begin your celebrations.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. It's always a little bit different winning on the road. It was a good representation of our team. Like, we're just all in it together, and it's just that group of guys that did it, and we're with each other in that moment, and that's what mattered the most. So it was really special to do it there.
Like, last two games on the road, it's probably never easy to win in the visitors' building, but what did you like about the way that the team played in those two games to set up winning the series in four?
Yeah, we actually won all four of our playoff series on the road, so we had a little bit of experience there coming in. But game three, we just wanted to go in, make it a hard game for them. Obviously, you're a little bit rusty coming off the long bus trip, and in the other conference there, you don't play in their rink a lot, but just play hard, keep it simple, and hope to steal a game there. And then once you take game three, game four, the guys had a lot of confidence. Like, we were playing well at that point, and we knew that if we were playing our structure, our hard game, that we had a good chance of winning that night, and we were able to get the job done.
Touch on the play of Ethan Coventry, who was named the playoff MVP.
Yeah, he was a huge addition to our team. Came in a little bit late in the season, but just the amount of skill he had and the ability to come through in those big games for us. I think he had two goals in game seven against Princeton there. Like, he was part of that missing piece, and obviously playoff MVP got recognized for it, but he was huge for our team and really helped us take home a championship.
You guys come home from the long bus trip. People within the organization, volunteers, organized sort of a parade party for you guys. I mean, talk about the welcome that you guys received coming home with the Tech Cup.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was kind of a surprise for everybody. We didn't totally know what to expect because last year we won the Cyclone here, and then the year before they won the league here. But it was awesome to see the support that we got. We walked downtown and they had it all set up. We probably had 150, 200 people there. So it was amazing for everyone to see and then interact with the fans who didn't get the chance to see us win it. So it was just a really special moment, and I'm sure everyone's going to remember it for the rest of their lives.
How long did that celebration last for?
I think we were downtown for about an hour there. We marched down from the rink and then we had a few people talking, and then we obviously had some interactions. We had some printouts of pictures from this season, and the guys signed them and were able to give them to the kids that were coming around, so that was fun. And then we ate downtown, and so all in all, it was probably a couple hours, but the actual parade itself was around an hour.
What is the group like about how it's playing heading into the Mowat Cup?
Yeah, I think we're at our best when we're playing simple hockey, not trying to do too much. I mean, that's pretty cliche. I'm sure everybody's going to say that, but it's true. Like, when you're not overthinking it, you're just in the moment, you're playing simple. Everyone knows what everybody else is doing, then you're on the same page playing together, and you tend to have success that way.
Now, obviously, there's a group of guys who were on the roster last year that won the Cyclone Taylor Cup, yourself included. What would it mean to that group to be able to finish off the season by winning the Mowat Cup Junior A Championship?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I mean, just the cherry on top of a great season already. But having that group, I think we have 8 guys that are coming back from last year. Like, we're able to kind of spread the message among the group of what it takes, and that it is just a 4-game tournament there, and you got to bring your best every night in order to have success.
Because I imagine, obviously, it's got to be a huge help with that group knowing what it takes to succeed in a short tournament like that, to use that experience in the Mowat Cup.
Yeah, for sure. You can't let too much get to you. You just have to stay in the moment, and it's whatever team shows up best for that weekend, and that's who's going to take it home. Anything can happen. You just got to be prepared for it.
At the start of the season, I imagine the conversation is like the goal is win the Tech Cup. Was the Mowat Cup in that same conversation? Like, how important is it for you guys to be able to win this one as well?
Yeah, right now it's super important. Obviously, the start of the year, you got to worry about the Tech Cup first. You can't look ahead too much because anything can happen throughout the year. Injuries, adversity, you never know. But now that we got the Tech Cup, it's all on the Mowat Cup. Like, it's important, and we're still trying hard to take that home as well.
Because I imagine it'd be pretty cool to be able to say that you're back-to-back provincial champions, obviously at different levels, but still.
Yeah, that'd be super special.
That's Brady Schwab, captain of the Tech Cup champion Revelstoke Grizzlies. Brady, thanks for joining us on Top Shelf, the KIJHL podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And good luck, by the way.
Thank you.
Shot scored!
Oh, man, that was a quick release.
Schwab, one-timer.
So, Emmanuel, you just finished talking with Brady Schwab. Let's talk a little bit about the Tech Cup and that win by Revelstoke, which I thought was impressive. Your thoughts on the series and the playoffs?
Yeah, it was a great job by the Revelstoke Grizzlies to be able to win the series in 4 games, because that's not an easy task to do. I mean, Fernie had a great season and a very good team. In the time that I've been with the league, this might be one of the strongest Revelstoke squads I've seen. They've always had the reputation of being able to defend well, but now they've also improved with being able to finish. This is a team that has shown they're capable of scoring a lot of goals.
Well, you asked Brady that very good question about what Coventry's meant to the team.
Yeah, I mean, Coventry's been, like, he's been big. And, like, when I was talking to him and congratulating him on being the playoff MVP, his focus was, like, he just wanted to play a strong 200-foot game, or just playing that strong defensive game. But the thing is, though, playing that also helped him to be able to contribute offensively. He put up a lot of points and led the team in scoring for the playoffs.
So, Emmanuel, you're going to be coming back a little bit later on the podcast, and we're going to talk a little bit about our impressions of the KIJHL season. And that's coming up after we do a little bursary talk.
Caleb Percival, shot blocked in close by Schmidt. They score! The initial shot was blocked. The rebound came to Caleb Percival. The captain ties the game.
Caleb Percival was awarded the Jackson Joseph Memorial Scholarship, one of 14 scholarship bursaries announced last week by the KIJHL. Joseph was one of the 16 members of the Humboldt Broncos killed in that tragic 2018 bus crash. In 2015, he played in the KIJHL with the Beaver Valley Nighthawks. Caleb Percival talked with Emmanuel about receiving the honor.
So first off, Caleb, congratulations on being the recipient of the Jackson Joseph Memorial Scholarship. And I know that you got another league bursary, but what does it mean to you to get the Jackson Joseph one?
Oh, it's such an honor. I'm so happy about it, and you know, any money that's going to go towards school is going to help me a ton, and then obviously with Jackson being an alumni of Beaver Valley, it means a lot more too. So
yeah, what do you know about Jackson, or have you been told anything about him?
I know some guys who are alumni who played with Jackson, and his legacy's lived on in BV. the way he conducted himself around the rink and whatnot. Yeah, it's quite an honor to get a scholarship under his name.
You're going to go play college hockey at Jamestown University. That must be exciting for you.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah, looking forward to it. I've been in touch with, you know, fellow KI guys who are also going down there. So we're all stoked, and, you know, it's tough that my junior career is over now, but I'm happy I get to keep playing the game I love, and I look forward to it.
That's Caleb Percival, who will be playing at the University of Jamestown next season. There were other bursaries announced. The KIJHL awarded 12 $1,000 bursaries. Brendan Smith from the Chiefs, Levi Brewer from the Coyotes, Sam Lewis and Ryan Larson from the Storm, Austin Woolley from the Grizzlies, Alex Smith from the Eagles, Caden Slobodian from the Ghost Riders, Jake Watson from the Dynamiters, Ethan Lazinski from the Rebels, Caleb Percival and Spencer Dixon Roos from the Nighthawks, and Ray Warwick from the Border Bruins. One last scholarship to talk about, the Remembering Grant Sheridan Scholarship presented by the KIJHL and the Mine Right for Athletes Society. This year's recipient is Ethan Lazinski from the Castlegar Rebels.
Ethan, congratulations on receiving the scholarship. Talk about, what was your reaction when you found out that you're the recipient?
Well, I was pretty thrilled. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are applying for the scholarships, and to be picked for one of them is pretty big, and it's pretty exciting knowing that the things I've done in the KI are have translated into something that I can use going into the future, into my education.
Yeah, I understand that you're going to attend the University of Alberta.
Yeah, I'm going to start in the fall. I'm going to start my engineering degree. Been looking forward to it for the last couple of years. I've kind of had my eyes on engineering since I came out of high school. So I'm excited to take the next step in my life.
I was just looking at your application package. It looks like you've done a lot of things in the community just to be involved and help people.
Yeah, I think that being involved in the community is really important. I mean, having an engaged fan base helps a lot, and having a bunch of kids recognize you is always something that makes me pretty happy, and I'm proud to play for my hometown team. I think just serving the community has to do with that pride, where I am excited and proud to serve my community. And hopefully I can inspire all those kids. Like, I was once inspired by watching the Rebels play, and it also gives you a good sense on sort of people there are around Castlegar and Nelson and Trail, because doing so many things, like, you know, we read to the kids at school and gone out to minor hockey practices, did a couple of things did an Alzheimer's walk this year as well. So I think the Rebels do a really great job of getting us involved with community activities. There's always something we can be doing, which I think is a really good sign, is a pillar of our organization for sure.
Can't get it in deep. We got a leaf in behind the defense. Here's a chance in front. Oh, what a save by Lazinski. Somehow that stayed out. Another save by Lazinski. Cleared away at the side of the net by Lorenko. Holy smokes.
On Top Shelf, the KIJHL podcast. Once again, talking with my partner in crime, Emmanuel Sequeira. Emmanuel, the season's over. This is our last official Top Shelf podcast of the season. We have a special one coming up after Moet Cup, but this is our last official KIJHL podcast. And I wanted to talk about the season because I have some definite thoughts on my impressions of the 23-24 season. I want to get your impressions. What did you like about this particular season?
I liked how there was a lot of close battles, especially within the divisions. Different teams surprised with how they played. I mean, this isn't a surprise team, but I want to touch on Grand Forks. Mm-hmm. They were able to continue their momentum from what they accomplished the previous season, and this year went further into the playoffs. So, I mean, it's great for them and the program that they've continued their positive momentum. Princeton had another great season. Unfortunately for them, just in the playoffs, it didn't go quite as far as what they wanted it to be, but they still had a great season. And I think it does a lot for them as they continue to build their program.
Yeah, you know, my thoughts on the season are, I can't get over is the parity in this league this year. It's just crazy. I'm looking at the standings at the end of the season. There were six teams playing over 700 hockey, only Princeton over 800, but just a nick over 800. There are nine teams playing over 600 hockey. Any team could beat any team on any given day in the KI, and if you didn't come into the game with the right mindset, you are losing. And that's what I really liked about the season. When I look at the KIJHL, I see so many teams that are playing a 200-foot game, and you just have to look at the goaltending in the KI, which I thought was absolutely impressive this season, whether it was Kachaslo, Phillips Watts, Olitska, Ponto, Kunik. There was just so many goaltenders you could point to that had great, great seasons. But it wasn't just the goaltenders, it was the team defense as well. And I think that really bodes well for the Revelstoke Grizzlies going in to the Mowat Cup, because I think they've got, as you mentioned earlier in the earlier segment, they've got the goaltending, they've got the defense, and now they've got the offense. Any comments on that diatribe I just did?
Yeah, I'll add to that. Like, you talk about the goaltending, I believe Castlegar was the lone team in the league that used two 20-year-olds. And I think it worked out well for them because they wanted to, in talking to their coach at the beginning of the year, because they had the roster space, but they felt it was important to have two 20-year-old goalies because they wanted to give their team the best chance at having success, at winning. And I think they accomplished that. I mean, they turned it around and got into the playoffs, and they did it, this kind of cliche, but by working hard. But they had a simple plan. The team worked well, and they had a good turnaround season that led to them getting back into the playoffs. It was great to see Spokane back in the league.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They didn't have probably the success that they hoped for. They made some strides. I mean, they accomplished some really good things. I mean, they had some guys that led the league in points for most of the season.
Yeah.
And they had some guys have some pretty impressive rookie seasons.
Yeah, no question about it. And their broadcast was awesome, too. I really enjoyed checking in on the Flow Hockey broadcast. You know, Emmanuel, I want to thank you because you did a lot of the heavy lifting this season when it came to interviews, you know, two or three a week, and it was really, really appreciated. You're looking forward to the off season when it eventually comes? We still have Mowat Cup to go.
Yeah, I do. And Mark, I want to thank you again for what a great job that you did with editing the podcast. I mean, I think we put out another quality podcast this season. And I just want to thank everybody that was involved with and played a key role in the podcast being what it was. It's almost kind of bittersweet that this is the last one, but I think it'll also be a nice break for us too. Yeah,
that's for sure. You know what? I'm going to see you at Mowat. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, me too. It should be fun.
Talk to you later. Our thanks this week to the KIJHL broadcasters, in particular Justin McCartney, Mike Johnstone, Dan McSkimming, and Ted Carswell. KIJHL Director of Communications, Emmanuel Sequeira. Revelstoke Grizzly, Brady Schwab. Beaver Valley Nighthawk, Caleb Percival. And Castlegar Rebel, Ethan Lazinski. We'd also like to recognize Prestige Hotels, Next Shift Network, and Flow Hockey, which brings our players closer to their families and friends back home. I'm Mark Berry. This is Top Shelf, the KIJHL podcast.